This episode is brought to you by Bellatoris Publishing, bringing stories to the world that last forever.
Today on Faithfully Fantasy.
Did you notice that Violet is counting the seconds again? She's like, one, this happens. Two, this happens. In a heartbeat, this happens. And this made me think about what we were talking about last week and how potentially she can still manipulate time because she's been given Andana's gift.
The important thing here is that he was getting burned by the fire. Because I think with the other dragons, they can spit fire to the Vanir and nothing happens.
In Resen, they set fire to the tower, don't they? And just, well, it explodes, but he just walks out.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the first time that she breathed fire, and her fire is burning the
Vanir.
Hello and welcome to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Iron Flame.
I'm JC.
And I'm Sean.
And today we'll be with the penultimo episode of the season of Faithfully Fantasy.
Join us as we walk through chapters 62 and 63 of Iron Flame in a slight change to scheduling in an attempt to even out the last two episodes of Iron Flame coverage.
Also, spoiler warning, all Fimperian, including bonus chapters and promo content for Onyx Storm.
There will not be any spoilers from the Dutch bookstore website. We since found out it was an unapproved release, and loads of you are waiting until the 21st, so there won't be any spoilers from that particular release.
Also, just a quick reminder, if you haven't checked our shop, you can find some of the items featuring here, like the t-shirt that I'm wearing, if you're watching us on YouTube, the mug that I have right behind me. All of this you can find in our shop on Etsy. So it's just looking for Faithfully Fantasy, or look for the link on our website, faithfullyfantasy.com. And without further ado, let's go for the summary.
We pick up where we left off with Rhee on the back of 10, taking on a dark wielder. We make short work of that one before Rhee drops back onto Fierge's back. We see Sawyer is in trouble. We witness some pretty amazing acrobatics from Violet, and we get Sawyer to the ground, but he's not in one piece. Andana breathes fire. We find out that 7 is the magic number. We take on Melgrin and General Sorengale in a bid to raise the wards again, and we find out who the Venon are waiting for.
Okay. It's getting now interesting now that we're going into the last chapters of this book.
Don't you think there's so much still to happen? Like, obviously, we're on the reread. There's so much still to happen, and we've literally got 5 chapters left.
The thing that surprised me is, like, when you think that you start to know, like, everything about Saedam, boom, he comes with another layer, and you have no clue where this guy is.
I've got
involved.
Some ideas, as usual. So should we start with chapter 62 and dive straight into the epigraph?
Okay, epigraph.
The easiest way to defeat a dragon is to kill its rider. Though the creature will most likely survive the blow, it will be stunned long enough to be felled. Chapter 3, The Tactical Guide to Defeating Dragons by Colonel Elijah Yeoban.
Anything to say about this epigraph?
So it must be a book from Cordin. It must be a book from the Flyers, because this is telling the Flyers how to defeat the dragon. This isn't a book written by Venon. As far as we know, Venon don't write books. They might do.
Yes.
But not after they turn Venon, anyway. It did make me think we were losing someone. The first time I read it, I was like, this is Liam all over again.
Yes.
Obviously, that is the intention. We do definitely lose someone. We notice the body of a dragon. I thought when I first read it that this was it for Riddick or Sawyer.
I completely get this epigraph, because you always say that you are as strong as your weakest link. And then between a dragon and a human, the human normally is always the weakest link. But I guess all depends as well on the signet of this person. Because if you go in after Saedam or after Violet, Violet can kill a dragon easily with a lightning as well. So who is the weakest link here?
Yeah, I think though, because it's for the Flyers, you would be a Flyer. Killing a dragon is almost unheard of, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's why everyone was so shocked to hear that Day Liam's dragon was killed by Griffin, attacked by Griffin, and obviously he wasn't. We didn't lose many active dragons because of the flyers. It's the Venon that have been taking them down, and the Wyvern.
Okay, let's start with the chapter. So as you remember the previous chapter, that chapter ends with Rihanna landing and turns back because there's a Venon as well there. Violet is just freaking out, like, no, it's happening again. One of my friends is coming here to rescue me, like to sacrifice.
She didn't even need her though, did she? Let's face it, Violet killed that Venon.
Maybe from Rhi's point of view, she said that maybe Violet is trying to get out of the saddle and she is stuck. So she thinks she is just there, not able to defend against the Venon if she is just all the time in the saddle. So she just not thinking, she just acting and goes to help. But obviously she forgot about what Violet can do now, that she can not only depend on the signet, she has some weapons as well.
Yeah, she also has the little like crossbow.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what happens. So she given like a little signs to Rhi, so Rhi understands. So she just goes down. And then she shoot the arrow, the sternum of the Venon.
Do we know if it goes boom?
It's all coordinated. So,
yeah, but isn't it a mere sight arrow? It should explode on contact, but it doesn't seem to.
No, according we happen in this scene, Violet has to turn and tree, and you to like go hard to the right.
So it could like blow up in the air in the TV. Yes. That would be amazing.
But what happened is, yes, she hit the Venon with the arrow, then turns, go to the right, the Venon falls, and then is when you hear the explosion in the back.
Oh, I missed the explosion.
Yes. So it's, so it's cool. when the Venon is out, is when it explodes.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it doesn't explode immediately. So it hits and then turns, rolls.
And then boom.
Cool. Rhi is grabbing, turns back.
She's amazing, isn't she? She's so strong.
And Violet's helping as well. She's like feeling the pain, but she is not dropping her friend this time. So they are both safe.
But she's like, you reckless, irresponsible. And then Rhi's like, you're welcome. But I'm not really sure what she's saying you're welcome for. Because she distracts the Venon long enough for Violet to remember she has a crossbow.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is. And then she just like smiles at her and then jumps off. She's so cool, Rhi. Yeah. If I could hope to be as cool as anyone in life, it would be Rhi, but I'm not.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like really cool when you see the adaptation on TV, like all these things happening, like so coordinated.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the two friends are just fine.
Yeah. I love these bits. And I feel them so vividly. And, you know, I don't see things in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I'm reading, I can't picture it. But I feel it so much. I know exactly what's happening. I know exactly what Rhi looks like in this situation. I just can't see it happening. So to be able to see it yes. will be really cool.
The action part doesn't just finish here because there's more people that need help.
Yeah. I don't know if you were going to talk about Quinn, but I wanted to just touch on Quinn. Like, she chooses a Labyrinth, and I had to use on my Kindle the like link to Wiki. You know, it like brings up Wikipedia if you don't know what a word means.
Mm-hmm.
Labyrinth, I don't know. I couldn't get the pronunciation. It's a double-sided axe, which I think is explained in the same sentence. I looked at it before I finished the sentence. But who would choose one of these? And that, like, it's just a really heavy double-ended axe. But what she does with it is pretty gruesome. She, like, hacks at the back of
chopping heads or something, I think.
She, like, hacks at the shoulder blades of a wyvern.
Yes.
Gross. But I just don't know what would make you choose that as a weapon when you have crossbolts that can fire arrows. Why? You just want, I don't know. A double-ended axe seems heavy and cumbersome to me. Wouldn't be my weapon of choice.
That would be obviously a weapon that is like short fight. And for a Venon, you have a lot of chances when you fight on the distance, even when sometimes they could be like faster than a dagger when you throw it.
Do you think you could put an alloy in the hilt of this axe?
I think if you have plenty of space, why not?
It's just a blade. Yeah, like, there's exactly. No reason it has to be a dagger, is it?
Yeah. So obviously there's a lot of things going on here. The first thing that Violet sees after Rhee jumps back to her dragon is that Sagael is outnumbered, but that turns out if she needs help, she will ask for help, which I think is really cool that you had that much confidence in your partner. Turns out that Sagael is so strong that he trusts her, that she will be able to win even when she is outmatched.
I don't think she would ever ask for help. You know, like me, I'm always ask for help, even if it's like, can you pass me that thing that's over there that I'm probably closest to?
Yeah.
I would always ask for help. I don't think Sagael would. I mean, how bad would it have to get before Sagael admits that she needs help from Tern?
Yeah.
Pretty bad, I would say.
I think if I Tern trying to help her, she would be like really cross
offended. With
me. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Focus on your own life. I got mine sorted.
Yes, but what I see here is like Violet is having like a little bit of panic moment. Then nothing happened with Rhee. So like, okay, if Rhee is fine, that means there's something else going to go wrong. So it's like, Sagael, she's fine. She will ask for her. Andana. And then Andana. And annoyingly hide.
Yeah, I'm annoyingly safe here. I wanted to say that it seemed like they were saying that most of the Dark Wielders were holding back.
Yes.
For another wave.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the wave that gets downed by the wards when they come up in the next few chapters? Or is this a wave that is going to come in Onyx Storm?
The way that I understand, it's come the whole hordes with wyverns and vermin.
They're waiting though.
Then just a few of them comes to attack first, like the first wave. So dragons riding kill all the first wave, but the other ones are still holding and they're waiting for the general to arrive. So at this moment, the general is not there.
Yeah.
Then when the general arrives is when the second battle starts. And then this one is when is obviously the rest of the wyverns and vermin attacking. And here's when the wars goes back to life.
Mm.
And then doesn't matter how many other wyverns of any are.
They can't get in.
Yeah.
But then they do, we know from the Cosmo article.
There's more
within the wars, but you don't know when they got in or.
No, I think what happened is that once the wars are on, all the wyverns die. The vermin, they lose the power. So they can't wield power anymore. They had to run or they had to do something. So, they had to escape.
I have something to say about this. And
hide then.
I have something to say about this. And I think I'll wait until later. Until there's a bit that makes me question that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to it.
Okay. Violet, Kilai, and the look to see who needs help. Then she sees that Aatron needs help. They has like true wyverns there.
How bad is his injury? Like, we know that Aatron gets injured.
Yes.
How bad is it? We don't find out. What does this mean for Riddick?
We know that by the end of everything, Riddick is still there.
Yeah, but if in the second wave, if Aatron is so injured, can Aatron still channel? Is Riddick as good as infantry at this point? I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but is he basically, can he wield? Can he ice wield? Or is...
Yeah, I think as long as the dragon is still alive, he's just the source. So he's like the connection. So as long as the dragon is still alive, the conduit or the bridge
is
still there. So he can just wield it as normal.
Okay, phew. Just worried for Riddick.
Well... it's not the thing to be worried about. Doesn't mean that he's going to be fine for the rest of the book.
not this again.
We had to wait and see. So they're going to help because obviously Aatron is in big trouble. Riddick is even trying to release his dragon from the wyvern. He's like trying to stab it with a sword, but nothing is working. Sawyer goes to the rescue as well. He just got there with the dragon. So it's these two dragons trying to fight against all these wyverns. So Tern goes ahead and he just hits one with the tail. And even Violet says that there's this sound of cracking
crunching,
bones.
Yeah.
Yes. And the wyvern falls.
Did you notice that Violet is counting the seconds again? She's like, one, this happens. Two, this happens. In a heartbeat, this happens. And this made me think about what we were talking about last week and how potentially she can still manipulate time because she's been given Andana's gift. And this is the second time in two chapters that she has been like counting in seconds. And there's this, and then a little bit later when Tern is a minute away and so much happens in a minute that it's got to be more than a minute, feels like she's slowing time again so that more can be achieved in less time.
Yes. As well as in this scene when she says that time goes slow.
Yeah. Because
so much thing is going on at the same time. So she can see that Sawyer is in trouble, Redock is in trouble. And then she realized that they need to help both. But Tern can be just in one place at a time because more wyvern coming. So she said Tern goes slow. So it's like when she needs the Tern go slow, then the Tern goes slow. Or she feel. Obviously, as a writer, Rebecca Jarrett is saying that everything is happening in slow motion because it's like too much for the brain to just digest. But we are on the lookout for second meanings.
Yeah, but so this is the question. Is it a gift that Andana gave to her and she also has a second signet? Or if you bond with a feather tail, are you gifted their gift? And then that's what you channel. That's what happens when you channel. That's just what happens. You don't get a second signet because that's just what you're doing. So we think that she's a truthsayer, right? But actually, and I think there's another hint to truthsayer in this next couple of chapters. But actually, it could be that if you bond at Feathertail stage, you don't get a second signet because you're gifted their gift. And that actually becomes your signet gift. It's nothing to do with you as a person. It's actually just to do with what the Feathertail had at the time. And Andana no longer has access to that power. She just has pure power, just like Tern or just like anybody else.
Yes.
This has just made me... like, I'm going off on a tangent here, but I wonder what Tern's gift was when he was a Feathertail. I wonder if we'll ever find out.
I don't know if he will remember. It would be like 150 years ago, something
like
that.
I think he'll remember. It's like the first power you get. How awesome would that be as a child? You'd be like, yeah, I got power.
The thing that I remember in Fort Wind, when Andana said that, yeah, she can stop time, and then Tern is just saying, yeah, Feathertail had like this, like, rare powers, but he doesn't look like surprised. He doesn't look like, oh my god, I can believe that she can stop time.
Yeah, it's not so an ultra rare one.
Yeah, so I wonder like if that's what it means, that if a human first found out that feather tails are baby dragons, well, juvenile dragons, and they can give the power directly to them. That was like the reason why they start to see that they will be start to like hunting the feather tails because they don't need signet. They can just make the feather tail to pass that gift.
Do you think even a feather tail would do that? Like, and it depends who I don't think it depends. Like, you've got a grown up, got two grown up dragons to contend with. They're protecting their children. I don't think they would just let, I find this a little bit odd that they're so worried that the leadership will go after the Feathertails, because really the whole point of bonds is to protect the veil, and like, why would you? It doesn't make sense. Yeah, you've got some corrupt people like Atos that might do that, but
well, for Wing, Jack and the other two, they were trying to kill the Feathertail. So with three cadets, if they think they can kill a Feathertail, that might be it, because the size is not that impressive. If they think they're just three men can
kill
it.
Yeah, they definitely do.
So they might think, okay, if we find out that they can pass on the gift, it's like, okay, if you don't pass your gift, we just kill you or something like this. So I don't know if it's a self-defense for the Feathertail.
Maybe, until like somebody, Big Mama Dragon comes along and is like, you talking to my baby? Back off. And then like roasts them.
Yes.
That was the sound effect for being roasted, by the way.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about it in addition.
I digress.
Yes, Violet is looking the Tern is slowing down, and then she realized that Tern can't be in more than one place. She needs to do something. And then when she decided she need to act as well, so she says to Tern, "Forgive me," and Tern is, "Stay in your saddle," and she just jumps looking for Greedox first. And while she's falling, she says to Tern, like, "Get rid of the other ones and just come to help me." And she lands and Atron, and she is like amazed, "Oh my god, holy shit, yeah, I did it." And Rita is like looking at the same expression, like, "Oh, holy shit, she did it." And he's like trying to get rid of the wyvern, but said that this thing, it won't move. So Violet comes with a plan, given the crossbow, like, "Okay, just shoot into the wyvern after I jumps to Hal Sawyer," and then after you, "What?" And she doesn't explain, she just runs and goes and jumps. And that's what Rita does. Once Violet is not there anymore, boom. But one thing that's really important before all this happened, Sawyer was trying to hurl his dragon as well, because the wyvern is attacking. And when he was like kicking the mouth of the wyvern attacks and Sawyer lose their leg. So it's in this part where his leg is chopped.
So I think it's temporary. I think he's going to get a metal leg. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the hiccup of Navarre.
He can manipulate metal, so better for him to start to doing something about it.
Yeah. I don't think it's the end for him anyway.
I remember that when we saw that Esser from Cosmopolitan, and then we see that Sawyer was an infirmary. He was already like feeling blue because they were venom attacking and he couldn't do anything. He just need to stay there.
Yeah, but he can't necessarily fight, but he could still manipulate metal. He could still work in the forge, or he could still, you know, like how menders, unless they're Brennan on the front line for some reason during the rebellion 6 years ago, menders often stay behind, don't they, and work with healers. Like, there's no reason why he can't be an active rider. He just...
Yeah, it kind of more options, I guess. If he can be in the first line of defense, he can be a teacher, he can be like strategy.
He can work with Felix, like making conduits for everyone.
Yeah, could be, I don't know, Kaori assistant, so he's not losing books everywhere.
I'm sorry, but that'll be a waste. Kaori needs to look after his own shit. Sorry. So Violet is dragon surfing at this point. Like, first she lands on Atrum, then she goes to sleep.
Yes.
Can we just remember, and this comes back later, I'm going to quote Andana, "You do not talk to dragons, you do not ride, human."
True.
Unless you're Violet Zorangale and you just talk to any old dragon. And we...
live to tell it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have this, there's this amazing theory that we found about Violet having dragon blood or something. And we have a pinned reel on Instagram that explains that. The biggest challenge that we get to that in the comments, which kind of went off the scale, is that Violet does not communicate with other dragons. But I think that's because people are thinking that when we say communicate with other dragons, they mean mind to mind.
Mentally, yeah.
There is only one instance of Violet speaking mind to mind. Oh, sorry. It's in italics in the book, which is normally means that somebody's speaking mind to mind.
Thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is when Bade comes for them in the land nav exercise.
Yes.
And that is in part one of Iron Flame. And this is what I mean. She communicates with other dragons out loud. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's speaking mind to mind. She asks, or she tells Sleek, she's like, "Let me help him." Sleek is a red dagger tail. You don't go into a conversation with a red dagger tail. Like, that's just not what you do. Obviously, Sleek knows it needs help at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And that there's no way to save Sleek and Sawyer. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely help needed. So you can be like, yeah, well, Sleek just knew that Violet was needed at that time. Mm-hmm. So hanging off a horn is fine. Doesn't matter. But you got to remember that nobody, like, would Rhee get away with that? I mean, Rhee jumps on Tern. So maybe.
Well, she wasn't talking. She was just acting and ward. But the thing is, when you see the Esa rider talking, not directly or even sometimes like indirectly to a dragon, Like when Rita was talking to Andarna, she said, like, oh, look at the mini turn or something like this. Andarna, she got really cross with him and she even tried to like attack, or she was like telling him, like, watch out who you're talking. That happens most of the time. The dragon is going to do something like to make you clear that you're not supposed to talk to me. But the time that we see Violet talking directly to a dragon, like in this scene, Slick is like looking at her, like annoying, but he's not doing anything else. Like, yeah, she's right. I can't do anything else. The same when she's talking to Kodak. Kodak doesn't do anything to attack her or say, like, you're not talking to me or anything. Like, it's looking annoying or whatever, but he's listening.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, though, isn't it? That you could say that that's because he knows that Andarna isn't normal, one of the normal six, and he knows that they need the wards back up. So he's going to listen to her. And that's the biggest rebuttal that we get. Like, and I totally get it, but you do not speak to dragons you don't ride. And that's the crux of it. But Violet is just like, dragon surfing, being like, don't mind me, Sleek, let me help, kind of thing. It doesn't seem normal, does it?
True.
Dragons are haughty, like annoying creatures, aren't they?
It's basically like they only can bear the rider, because I don't see at this point there are dragon that's like having like really good like open friendship with their rider. It's just like they are like collaborating. Maybe Andarna when she was a feather tail, but even now as a big dragon, she's all the time like against Violet. So she's like a teenager, like trying, Violet says something and she like replies back.
Yeah, but that, like, Violet is a little bit, like, she treats her like a baby, which would annoy, doesn't it? It annoys children, doesn't it, when you talk to them like a baby.
Yes, but that's what I mean. That I don't see like a dragon being like, I don't know, friendly, having like a proper relationship. They say to the rider, I love you or I miss you or anything like this. So it's just like, this had this relationship. This everything is for battle. Everything is to protect the veil of the wars. And that's it.
I think there's a bit of foreshadowing for Lilith, for what's going to happen to Lilith in the next chapters. Because as Violet jumps, all her loved ones cross her mind and she's like, Mira, Brennan, bum, bum. The last one is Lilith. Mm. And that's what the last face she sees before she lands. And that for me feels like, yeah, that could have been foreshadowing. You wouldn't have spotted it, but now you know.
The thing could be maybe a list of the people who are going to die in which order, like final destination.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So Violet grabs Sawyer from Slick, then the fall, and she's just telling to turn, catch me. Turning like, silver one! And Zaydan is the one like,
what are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing? And there's a part here that for me, I don't know how to take it, because there's another like reference to the fall is slowing down. So she's talking about like Zaydan is just like reaching all his power, all the limit, to trying to at least like slowing down their fall.
It just can't reach.
Yeah, so it's like the only thing that he's doing is basically just slowing down the fall. But again, it's just like, is he actually Zaydan doing this, or is Violet the one who is like slowing down like the moment, like how it happens and reason that everything is going as loud, and then Andarna were like, who are rescuing her?
Yeah, but at that time, Violet had to make a conscious effort. And the same with the squad battle at the end of Fourth Wing, or towards the end of Fourth Wing, when Jack got squashed by the mountain, when she was saving Liam.
Yes.
She had to consciously think about her and Tern, didn't she? She had to kind of say, we're the ones going fast, everything else slows down. So did she have to consciously, if she had to consciously think about keeping Tern fast, everyone else would have slowed it. She would have known that she was doing it. Or is it not like that anymore?
And fourth wing was Andarna, the one who was slow in time. So it wasn't Violet. But here it's like when Violet feels or she needs something to slow down, then that's the part that slows. So here she is the one who is saying the fall slows. Mm. She needs a fall slow so Tern can come on time and catch them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. But yes, he does this.
As if he wouldn't.
Like, what was your plan? Just waiting for me to catch you? Exactly. Like, if you wanna. Then she says, do me a favor. We need to take Sawyer to the healers. It has to be now the healers because no mender can do anything with something that is not there.
And now we find out that Brennan has mended the wardstone. I think this whole conversation is totally sus. Your brother has mended the stone into one piece, but does not feel hopeful. My heart rises just to fall. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Why? Can it not be imbued? Marb is not keen on details. Right, there's some bad blood between Tern and Marb. Clearly,
yes.
Tern wants to know what happened after Nailin died, inverted air quotes, whatever. Mm-hmm. Marb has not told him anything. So I think there's beef between Tern and Marb. Tern doesn't like Brennan. Sigel doesn't like Brennan. Mm-hmm. Marb isn't telling Tern the whole story about the wards. We have speculated that maybe Brennan didn't actually want the wards up because it might affect the way that the rune on his hand, whatever that's doing, is acting. Or it might be stopping him from channeling too much, but he's still got access to Marb's power, so he's still going to be fine. He's still going to be able to wield, mm-hmm. we think. But this whole thing is that, is Brennan just repairing the stone because he thinks that there's no hope that Violet can raise him anyway because he knows that the wards in Aracia are failing and everything?
I think from Brennan's experience at this point, could be that, yes, the stone is in one piece now, but if they want to put the walls on, they have to mute it, and there's no time to do it, because he knows that it took like weeks for three riders to mute the one in Aracia, and that one was smaller than this one in Basgaiath. Mm. So I'm thinking that Brennan say, well, yeah, it's done, but there's nothing cold that we can do anywhere. It's completely empty. And if we want to do something, that's going to take time.
Mm.
For me, it's just Brennan helping because he knows there's nothing that he can do to put the wards on just on time.
That makes sense.
So they land and Violet's asking for help. Tern said, I asked for help as well. Help is coming. And the help is marrying with Kat.
But there's a time where she literally asks, she tells Malak that
you he know, can't have her. This one. Yes.
Do you think Malak listens to Violet? She's like, you can't have him, I tell Malak, shifting to Neil in the Scarlet Snow. You took Liam, you may not have Sawyer. I genuinely thought that we were losing him because the first time I read it, he was unresponsive for a while. Like, she was searching for a pulse. Like, he was not good. And this is another kind of nod to the fact that she has some connection to Malak.
Yeah, she's been a couple of times that she always, like, interfered in Malak's will.
Yeah. So if Malak is real, and I do genuinely believe we're going to meet Malak, I'm not going to say it again who I think it is. Yeah, we're going to meet Malak. And then he's going to be like, remember that time you wouldn't let me have this person? Remember that time you wouldn't let me have this person?
Mm-hmm.
But I do get the feeling that Malak is listening to her.
I will be there. She is a demigod as well, like Zayden.
Yeah. So they land and Kat and
Marion and Kat, they arrive with the griffin, they're running.
Where is Kirilla and Bragan's griffin? Kirilla's cat's griffin. Where is Bragan's? They're running behind on foot.
I guess it's because there's so much chaos. Griffins have to be in somewhere. Flyers another one.
Yeah, like totally cards on the table. They needed Cat not to be able to leave quickly, didn't they?
Yeah.
So Kirilla couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Rebecca Yaris needed K cat to be basically grounded.
Yes. Be the last one to leave.
Yeah, and there was a risk that, because obviously, as we'll hear in a minute, Violet gets lifted off the ground and Kat was still on the ground, and there was always a risk that she needed the danger to be there, that Kat couldn't just fly away.
Yeah. Marin takes Sawyer. They're going to take her to the healers. Kat, she's behind. Then she gave a dagger to Violet.
Did you know what a litter was? This is the second thing I had to Google.
No.
So Darjeeler was pulling a litter behind her, and I was like, litter? The only things I know is that's litter is like rubbish on the ground. And yeah. I was like, is she like just pulling all this war rubble behind her? No, a litter is like a medieval cart that is used with like a bed or a sofa or something to to carry wounded.
All right.
It's like, so she's pulling a cart. You learn something new every day. Kat continues to be a bit of a wretch. However, that's what it is on face value, where she's like, I saw what you did up there. And, well, Kira did, and she told me. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you did well. She didn't say amazing. I don't think Kat would ever say that. But then she's like, you would have done the same thing. And Kat says, I would have done it faster. In a very British accent. I would have done it faster. Because all British people are bad in movies.
True.
Sorry, no, all bad people are British. No, all British people are bad. I feel like, sorry, everyone. I think this is the real moment where she gives her the dagger, and this is the real moment where she's, I think she's trying to be funny here by saying, I would have done it faster. She's definitely not just being a bitch.
No. She's just like trying to break the ice, I think. We're kind of like friends.
This is the start of the alliance. I wouldn't go as far as saying friends.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, this is was like, okay, now we don't have to worry about Kat anymore because now everything is done.
I'm still worried about Kat. I'm still worried about Kat, and we are going to have a bonus episode talking about Taylor Swift lyrics, and the one for Kat makes me quite worried.
Yes, Kat is in that list as well.
Yeah, find out how to listen to that very soon.
Okay, so Tern feels that Sagel is in danger, so he goes to the rescue. Kat given the dagger, then she leaves, and Violet has like a little bit of break. So the condom falls on the ground, and she just like needs just a moment to just breathe. And then is when a Dark Wielder comes.
But she spots, before she sees the Dark Wielder, she spots a green, one dead green club tail.
Yes.
We find out it's not Tiny. The only other one we know is Panchak.
Mm-hmm.
Panchak is not dead, because we're going to meet him in the next chapter.
So that
is not to say that that is not Panchak's dragon. If Panchak is Venon, that could be his dragon dead on the floor and he could still be alive.
Yeah.
We know that from Jack. It'll be interesting to see if Panchak has his dragon.
If we see like in Onyx Stone a reference there, Panchak, where's your dragon? Yes.
Oh, just in the veil. Where he normally is, actually.
Yes, eating something.
Yeah, hungry.
Mm.
And Panchak has no dragon anymore. How cool would that be?
Do you think that if they found, like in this case, a green dragon dead, they will know exactly which one is, or it's going to be like a green dragon, but no idea.
Unidentified green club tail. Kaori's got his notebook, if he knows where it is, if somebody hasn't stolen it, on all active dragons in service. So perhaps Kaori knows. Perhaps yes. Kaori could identify it, but otherwise I don't think so. I don't think you would.
I'd recognize the dragon.
I mean, all different sizes and things, but no, I'd say it'd be quite...
If you know how, like, one against another one, you can't compare exactly like, the size.
Yeah.
You can tell the size when they are together, but when it's just a single one.
Yeah. I mean, if it is Panchak's dragon, it's pretty bad news for Panchak, because, like, he's going to have to just keep...
How are you still alive?
He's going to have to pretend. And then they're going to be like, Panchak, you need to go to Cordon. And he's like, it'll take me, like... 5 to 9 business days because I'll be going on foot or I'll be going on horse. Yeah, he won't be able to hide it unless he like has a wyvern. It's like, yeah, I'll meet you there. I need to need to go somewhere in the meantime.
He's painting a wyvern with green paint. Putting like a legs or arms. Wood and paper.
Cardboard arms. We'll see, though. I think there's a theory in there somewhere. This could be Pancheck's dragon dead on the floor. Pancheck is a venom.
We had a venom. Turn is the one who says to Violet, behind you. And there's this venom. There's a woman. Violet described her as a hard shaped face. That she could be like undeniable beautiful when it was human. And this venom is like, oh, there's no point running. We both know that I will drain the ground. Cat notices the venom, so she comes back. And Violet's like, no, run, run.
And then she's like, yeah, I'll drain the ground. And this will all be for nothing. Mm. Which suggests the only reason they are there is to get Violet. Or they know of the connection. The only reason is to go and get Zayden. Mm. And they know of the connection that if Violet dies, potentially Zayden dies.
She says something really interesting.
Yeah, you'll be so much fun for him to wield. What does this mean?
For me, my first thought was like, could be maybe the Venom be able to grab Violet's signet? Or you maybe use it as a siphon and then just grab
all the power
and then just drain her. Or maybe you can't drain her. Because she had maybe unlimited power. In fact, she has another like bridge with the sky. So you had like the unlimited power of the sky directly from Violet.
She very nearly burns out though twice, doesn't she? So you'd think that if she had unlimited power, she wouldn't burn out.
But I think it's because she was using the power for herself. But if somebody's grabbing her power, like open the archives from Tern and then just grabbing that power, that torrent of power coming.
Well, but then also when Sloane manifests in the caves, when they're fighting Solas, she accidentally drains Violet and Violet starts to feel
weak.
It takes her power, doesn't it? She's like overheating. She starts to feel weaker. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that is the case. If it is, then there's some weird things that have happened that contradict that. Mm. But I do think that potentially, if they believe that they can wield her lightning, they can make her wield lightning, and that's by maybe threatening Zayden or making her do something because they know her weakness, it could be that they would use her to kill dragons because the only thing that kills dragons really is.
There's been mentioned that she's going to turn into a venom. So maybe that's what I mean as well. If she turned venom, the big boss of the venom has a lightning wielder.
Yeah, and she'll be able to zap all the dragons.
Yeah.
Instead of the wyvern.
Yeah.
But then another one comes in red leathers.
Yes. I find that weird. Red leathers.
So for me, he's a rider or a flyer because they wear leathers. Mm-hmm. Also, he lifts her off the ground. So I get the feeling he was a former rider and he was an air wielder because you can still use, and perhaps he's still connected to his dragon. I don't know. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was weird because there's so many different, it's like non-uniform day. Mm-hmm. Everyone if you're a Venom, you just wear what you want. Just wear whatever color you want, purple, red, maroon, leathers. I don't know. It just feels like there's no uniform, but they probably mean something.
Yeah, maybe it's coming from a different province or something. Like the way that he's dressing means something somewhere else.
Maybe, but I really feel like he's a rider. I really feel like he's an air wielder. I didn't go as far as seeing which air wielders we know about. I know there's one that was working with Nolan, keeping Jack suspended. But an air wielder is not that useful for a Venom because you drain the ground unless you want to keep someone safe, like Violet.
Yeah, but before this guy appears, Kat is messing around with the first Venom. So it's just using the power against. Yeah. And the name of this Venom is Wynn, I think. And she was like, yeah, I'm going to have your power.
It's going to be me. I will be the best.
Yeah.
I will be his favorite. It's like Bellatrix Lestrange. There we go.
Spoiler alert for Harry Potter.
I don't think that's a spoiler, but Wynn gives me Bellatrix vibes. She's like, I'll be his favorite. He'll have my babies.
Here you go. I said it before.
It didn't happen. I refuse to believe it happened.
Violet, she used her power, and then lightning strikes, and boom, she is gone. And other than the only thing that he says is fascinated.
Fascinating weirdo.
Violet is there with this banner, saying, on my way, Satan is on my way as well. But Violet knows that they're just too far away. There's no help. They're just in front of this guy. And then she noticed that the cliff started to move. And she was like, what's that? It's like a boulder with silver and golden eyes coming to this guy, to the wyvern. And yes, she sees there's like a boulder that just spring as a projectile, changing colors with black scales. And that is the end of the chapter. Chapter 63.
Epigraph. Mm-hmm. I am alone in thinking the knowledge of wards, the protections they provide, should not solely benefit Navarre, and it has cost me everything. Journal of Lyra of Moraine, translated by Cadet Jessenia Neilwart. What did it cost her? Mm-hmm. Love?
Everything.
What is everything? Love?
Everything.
Soul?
What I find weird is that they're the sixth rider, the most powerful rider, and she is the only one who thinks that the world should be shared.
She's not, though, is she? So this is I had this question as well. Was she alone? Or was it just Warwick? And Warwick was the boss.
And the epigraph says, I'm alone thinking this. So what happened with the other four riders? Because we know that Warwick is saying, no, this has to be just for Navarre. And Lyra is saying, no, we should share it with everyone else.
Yeah, what do the other four think?
Yeah.
And Lilith basically, and where are those journals? Sorry, Lilith said it was Warwick that wanted to keep it a secret.
Yes.
But what about the other four? Like, did they not have journals, or did they just not survive?
Maybe we don't know the names yet, and we'll find out later on the other books, the other journals, or the other six, and we'll find out more of the story.
I'm desperate to know what Warwick's signet and Lyra's signets were. I also have a feeling, and I think I've said this before, that the seventh Den dragon was also bonded to Lyra. So I think we're seeing history repeat itself in that Lyra had two dragons as well. And I wonder if the one thing it cost her was her other dragon. Mm-hmm. She's still alive because she's bonded to her other dragon. But Warwick potentially slayed her dragon to stop any more wards being created. I think the seventh Den dragon that created the wards died. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I do think Andana will sacrifice herself.
I think they're unexpected not to see any more dragons from the Seven Den. I'm expecting Andana is going to be the only one. Because if she is the only one, she's still being like a special character. If we find out there's more Seven Den dragons, then she is like losing a little bit unique.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do agree with you. It's just that we know from the back of the French book that they're going to find the seventh Den, or they're going to go and search for it. They might not find
they
it.
They're going to
attempt
to find. Yeah. Doesn't mean that they find it or they know they're born. Yeah. So I think once they figure out that Andarna is one of the seven, then it's like, okay, then we need to see if there's more. So they're like in a search for more Seven Den dragons, but doesn't mean they found out their rumor, their stories, their Seven Den dragons living somewhere else or anything like that. It's just like, we need to look if there's more, because if we find more, then we can create the wars in Eurasia. So for me, there's a difference between they're trying to find more and they know there's
and
more.
And actually finding more, yes.
The chapter starts with the Dark Wielder turns around, but then it's Andarna, the one who lands directly in front of him. She breathes fire at him, burning him, And then she tears the head straight off of the body.
And spits it out.
Spit it out. Violet is, what the actual fuck?
Is it the fire that killed the venom, or is it ripping his head off?
I think it's the combination. But the important thing here is that he was getting burned by the fire. Because I think with the other dragons, they can spit fire to the venom and nothing happens. They're like, they're immune to
Yeah, because he walks fire. Out. Well, any kind of fire, because the in Resin, they set fire to the tower, don't they? And just, well, it explodes, but he just walks out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here, I think there's another hint at how special is Andarna, because actually, this is the first time that she breathed fire, and her fire is burning the venom. Violet surprised, like, what? You were doing this? Like, and she like, yeah, I told you that I'm really good at hiding.
Mm.
And Violet like, that wasn't hiding.
It was like camouflage.
Proper camouflage.
Yeah. Chameleon type. 10 is a minute away, but a lot happens in this minute. This is the bit for me that makes me think that she slowed down time.
Another reference to the potential gif.
Yeah. Right. So then they're kind of talking about how bad things are looking. Atrum is already wounded. We don't know what that means. Would he be able to continue fighting? It sounds like not. Sounds like Atrum is pretty bad. Then Violet tells Andarna, even after what she's just done, she's still treating Andarna like a baby. She's saying, go to Marb.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andarna is safer away from Marb. I don't trust Marb. I don't know yet. And obviously we don't know. But I think Violet should just shut up at this point. Like, I'm getting annoyed. I love Violet, but she is
totally Dane mode.
Yeah, she's babying Andarna. And Andarna is a massive dragon who is capable of burning and biting the heads off Venom. One, they need her in this battle. They're not going to win it without her.
Mm-hmm.
Violet very nearly died just then, and Andarna was the one that came to the rescue. And two, she can look after herself. Don't just... anyway.
Sedan is the one who told her that Melgrain wants Dan to be in the Vale. So they want to move all the squad, but they need to have a meeting first.
Was he lying about them wanting to speak to both Zayden and Violet? Because when Violet gets there, Lilith's like, what are you doing here? And Zayden said they need to speak to both of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if Zayden was lying. He just wanted to come with them.
It's weird because it's her mother, the one who said that, but then Melgrain is the one who said, like, she's never away from him.
Yeah, but they didn't Melgrain say, like, I wanted to speak to both of them? Because Zayden says, I want to speak. I don't know if Zayden's the one that's just assuming they want to speak to both.
For me, it's because they had the two more powerful dragons. So Terran and Zagael, and they want the riders to start going to the Vale. So they want to like retrieve all the squad to protect the Vale and leave Bas-Gaiath.
Well, yeah. They're just not willing to sacrifice Violet and Zayden. They want them in the Vale because they're going to leave everyone else to die. Yes. They don't value the others as much.
They just want to hide in. Yeah. And leave the rest of Pascaya to burn.
Mm.
Because, the Arcas are protected and the rest, it can be rebuilt.
Do you agree that they shouldn't close the gate? Zayden's like, we're not closing the gate.
Doesn't matter.
They're going to get in anyway. Yeah. And they need the access. I agreed with Zayden. I thought it was a bit rude.
Yeah, Zayden is like this kind of character that he tells the truth regardless of how they're going to take it. Like in Fort Wayne, when they say, well, if none of you are going to help yourself, then just die, because I'm not going to help you if you don't want you help yourself. So it's the same here.
He doesn't have to be so grumpy.
One of these person goes to, like, after Violet, and Violet is thinking that he's going to tell me again about the gate, and she's like, yeah, he's right, he's not going to help, so trying to be nice. And this person is like, no, stopping you because of that, stopping you because there's a scry chasing you down, and then they see this Jessenia coming with the journal. So Zayden say like, okay, you talk to her, say that she need to hide, going to the meeting with Melgrain. And then is when they had the conversation. And Jessenia is the one who said, yeah, I read the journal Lyra, but she is lying. She can't be right because she's saying that the seven can't be seven.
It can't be seven, even though there's seven circles on the wardstone. There's seven runes on the wardstone. But it can't be seven. This is terrible detective work from Jacinia. I'm sorry. But one, it's a seven, not a six plus one, which is also seven. Why does Jacinia think that Lyra's journal is wrong? She goes on a bit of a monologue about how there's seven circles on Onerasia, the seven wards. How can she not think that it's seven?
For me, the logical explanation that would say oh my god, there were seven dragons before 600 years ago, but now we have only six, so we are screwed because we don't have that dragon. So I think Jacinia should go to Violet. Yes, there's seven dragons, but we only have six, which means that one has been extinct in for how many years?
Yeah.
And then that still triggered to Violet, oh my god, and Darna is the other then.
Yeah.
But no, is she right? No, she's wrong. It can't be seven. It's just six dragons. There's no more.
Yeah, it may be a sign, like playing devil's advocate with myself. It may be a sign that she's a scribe. She's been taught this. Like, she believes the archives are right. She's still struggling to get the fact that they've been lied to. Mm-hmm. But you don't go on about how there's seven circles and seven runes on the wardstone and then say, and also six plus one is seven. It's not like it's saying six. Warwick does not lie. He says six and one. Mm-hmm. Which is seven.
Six,
like, in no world is that not seven. It gets me so angry, this whole thing, because one, Jacinia is being a bit of an idiot, and six plus one is seven. How hard is it?
Warwick is saying six and the one combined, and Lyra is seven dragons.
They're the same thing.
So, yeah.
But actually, Warwick is being more explicit about it, because six riders have six dragons plus one. Mm-hmm. He's being a bit more explicit. The riderless dragon, or the dragon that's bonded to another rider, like we've got.
For me, I understand that as it's like the six regular dragons and the one. There's the seven down. There's a special dragon.
The one
dragon
that's combined that mixes all the colors together.
Yeah. So it's still seven dragons.
Yeah. And this is the thing. I think neither of them are lying. They're both saying the same thing, but Warwick is giving a bit more detail.
For more, Warwick is, giving more hints about it. There's just, block. Okay, if you didn't mistranslate and everything to seven, so we need to just figure out what does it mean. And by the way, go to see Sawyer. So she explained what happened to Sawyer. So she goes, and she only says to Violet, be safe. And Violet is just thinking about it, what could it be? Six dragons and a griffon?
No, that couldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bon, holy shit.
Yeah.
Hit it.
For the first time, I'm the one holding what might be the ultimate secret. This is the bit for me that's when it's not the first time. She held the secret of being able to do the wards in Erasure. Mm-hmm. So that she could give the flyers the choice. But this is the ultimate secret, isn't it? That there's an extra den of dragons. And it's the nod to the truth say. She's quite impressed with herself that she's the one holding the ultimate secret. And that, to me, might be another hint to the truth sayer signet.
So she goes to the meeting with Melgrin.
And Panchak, this is where we find out Panchak is alive.
Yes.
And there's no note of red rimmed eyes or anything.
No. They're having a discussion about what do you think that this cadet, they're going to defend all of this against all these wyverns, all these venom. They're not, the most important thing is the veil. We had to go to the veil. Lilith Sorengel is saying the same as well, that they had to go to the veil. And Violet is the one who's saying, no, we need to give it to Brennan, the option to fix the walls, because he's the one who can make the difference. And the general were but you're trying in a ratio that didn't work very well, isn't it?
Yeah, Lilith is playing a game here. She's playing a part. She's whispering some things to Violet, and she's saying some things aloud for everyone else to hear. They're not in a big group of people. Surely everyone would hear everything, but she's definitely playing a game there, isn't she?
Violet is just raised
for
the
once in my life, listen to me, or whatever she says. It's such a typical kid thing to say to their mom, isn't it?
Yes. So when they're in the middle of discussions, all of them, they look into the same place, and then Tern is the one who says to Violet, the leader has arrived. So they see there's a big wyvern coming, bigger than the other ones, with a vernon and a royal blue.
Yeah, what's that about?
It has to be just rank. If you're in royal blue, you're a general.
Oh, he's a leader. Is there a royal connection?
I don't know, because you know when the Satan's point of view, when he's saying that I'm not going to do something with a sage or something, and he was laughing, I know a sage, I am a general.
Yeah, I'm a maven.
It could be this, the rank.
Made me think of either royalty. I think this is General Darrymore. I really do.
No. The one who is waiting for Zayden.
You think it's Zayden's granddad?
Yes.
So there's another reason, and I did say in my notes, is there a link to Segael? Is it
the color of the tonic.
That it's blue, and that's supposed to make us connect with Segael?
Yeah. This one is definitely looking for Zayden, and I think could be General Darrymore or one of the Seers, the one who has been living for centuries. We haven't seen it physically yet, because I think that one is going to be wearing a maroon tunic. The color is different from the other ones. So I think this one is going to be maroon when we finally see it, like, face to face.
The one that we suspected might be Zayden's granddad previously was in the dream, and he was not wearing blue.
He was wearing purple. Yes. Violet recognized him as the same one of the Nightmares.
So then what were the colors?
He's like a uniform, royal blue for battle. They see this guy coming, and then Mergrin says, okay, no more wasting time. We need to do something. We need to do it now. So they're like about to leave. And then
but she says, if we get the wards up, every dark wielder is powerless. And this is what I wanted to have a bit of a chat about.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly powerless, because then she's thinking of Jack Barlow. I'm going to skip forward to the Zayden POV chapter. He is still wielding his shadows. I know that he's connected to Segael.
Yes.
But we also suspect from the interview with Rebecca Yarros that Segael is pissed off and she is not speaking. Don't you think that would have an effect on the channeling? Or do you not? Do you think that Segael can't help but channel? She could be pissed off with him as much as she wants, but she can't stop channeling.
Not sure how it exactly works, because the rider is the one who built something to control the power of the dragon. I don't know if the dragon can do exactly the same, build something to control the power who goes to the rider. I don't see, like, why not? If the rider can do it, why the dragon can't?
Because they don't have thumbs.
To build mental wards.
Oh, mental wards. I thought you were talking about a conduit.
No, mental wards. That's what I mean. If they have something to control the power coming, why the dragon is not going to be able to do it? A lot of times turn like...
Blocked just off.
Blocked, yeah. Or he just go through the barriers the Violet pulls and the mentally bound. But it's in the Cosmopolitan essence as well, when we see that Satan has been out with Garrick. So I'm assuming that he's flying in Segael. I don't think
he'll
be sharing dragon with Garrick.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I think it doesn't matter how pissed Segael is with Satan at the beginning, they're still like...
Yeah.
Maybe she is not talking to him, but they're still working
together.
Yeah,
that's what Rebecca Yarros says, isn't it? She says in that interview, she said at the beginning of Onyx Storm, she won't be talking to him.
Yes, I can imagine like how awkward could be just Satan flying and Segael and then just not talking.
Mm.
Just working together, like two colors, they hate each other. So Melgrin is saying, okay, we're not going to waste more time. And then it's the General Sorengel who says, wait. This is my school, and we said, wait, and the Melgrin says,
it's my army! I think he's having a tantrum at this point.
Yeah. Oh, then Satan is like, well, technically, it's half of your army, because the other half is mine. And we said, we're going to wait. He said, okay, if you think that you can put the walls back, go with your mother, and I try to buy you as much time as I can. They're not going to attack yet because they're still waiting. And Meglin said, like, waiting for what? Said Aneta said, they're waiting for me. And that's the end of the chapter.
What the fuck?
That's exactly what I thought.
So he says this to Meglin. He doesn't just say it to Violet, right? He replies.
He says to everyone.
Yeah.
We're waiting for what?
Me.
Waiting for me.
And he just walks off.
See ya.
Yeah. Right. So how does he know? There's a few ways he could know. Intentions. He could be reading the intentions.
I think it's because there have been so many references about Sedan is not being able to sleep neither. And yeah. He's been dreaming. So maybe in one of the dreams he said, I will be looking for you before the battle starts.
Yeah, it could be the dreams.
Yes.
It could be this granddad and he just knows. Mm-hmm. Also, though, if you think about what's happening to Violet, the Venon that he's meeting could just be telling him. Because he's been fighting Venon, hasn't he? Yeah. He's been fighting Venon the same as Violet has. And Violet's like, I'm under strict orders not to kill you. She's getting information. Why would Zayden not be getting information like that as well? Also, like, it made me think of Garrick. Do you remember when Garrick's like, ask him about that Dark Wielder he took out? And Zayden's like, thanks, mate. Like, he did not want to talk about that.
Thanks, asshole.
Yeah. I think there could have been a conversation at that point as well. Like, there's so many times where Zayden has interacted with Venon where we weren't privy to the conversation. The Venon could literally just be saying, he's waiting for you. He won't attack until he's seen you.
Yeah, because every time there's a Venon against Violet, it's always like, the Lightning Wielder. So maybe we say then it's like, Dark Wielder.
Yeah, the Shadow Wielder. Yeah. There's no reason why.
Yeah. I'm thinking that maybe Satan is getting the same attention that Violet's getting. Maybe not as much, but he has a really powerful signet. And it's like rare as well because we have no any other mentions about a Shadow Wielder.
No.
So it's like something unique as well.
I agree with you. It is a cliffhanger at the end of that chapter. And we don't get a resolution for it in Iron Flame. So that has got to be something we find out more about in Onyx Storm, isn't it? We've got to find out how he knew, what he knew, etc.
Yes.
So I think there's some answers to be found, hopefully, in Onyx Storm.
Well, Satan's point of view, there's a conversation with Satan and the general. And it seems the only mission of this general is turning Satan to a Venon.
That's what he's come for.
So he's like constantly telling like, come on, Shadow Wielder, what you had to do? You had to turn. I'm going to kill Violet. I'm going to do this.
Like cranking the handle.
Yes.
Winding him up.
So that was like his mission. He was successful.
So well done once again for hanging on to the pommel as we deep dived chapters 62 and 63 of Iron Flame.
Join us next week for the ultimate episode
of Iron Flame
deep dive. And this one is going to be the three last chapters. It's going to be small chapters, but definitely we have so much things to say about those chapters.
64 is quite long, isn't it? Chapter 64.
Yes, 64 is a little bit long. Then 65, 66, there's Satan's point of view is really small, but packed. We had a lot of stuff to talk about.
Shall we sneak peek the epigraph of chapter 64 and then allow everyone to mentally prepare themselves for next week when we think about Liam once again?
Yeah.
You're going to love Violet. She's smart and stubborn. Reminds me a lot of you, actually. You just have to remember when you meet her, she is not her mother. Recovered correspondence of Cadet Liam Mari to Sloane Mari. So much happens in chapter 64.
Thanks for listening to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Iron Flame.
Be sure to head over on Instagram and TikTok at Faithfully Fantasy Pod to join the conversation. We love hearing your thoughts, theories, and things and comments.
Also, don't forget to visit our website where you can find all our episodes and all the relevant links about us at www.faithfullyfantasy.com.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode. We say goodbye for now, but we'll see you next week with more Faithfully Fantasy.
Bye.